Coming to you from early morning before the sun's up for various reasons, but I haven't even bothered to even look at my hair. Not that you can tell the difference, because you probably can't. You know, I'm a funny guy. And sometimes when I go to restaurants and the serving people, you know, they bring you delicious food and they're all happy to see you, and they ask, is your food delicious? Would you like some dessert? Would you like a cup of coffee? Would you like another glass of wine? And they just love you to death. Then after you're done with the meal, they bring you the bill. And since I'm a funny guy, I will sometimes make a joke. I'll say, I knew there was a catch. And they laugh, because nobody ever says that. I'm the only guy that's probably ever said that to them. But it's the same thing with insurance people. They sit down with you and they tell you all the wonderful things that this insurance is gonna do for your family, this life insurance or this health insurance. Then of course they bring out their briefcases. Then of course they bring out the paper and the pen, and there's always that moment. All right, now the fun's over. All the benefits you're gonna get are over. Now you're signing your life away. Or the same thing with a house, when you buy a house. This is not how the evangel should be presented. Because there's always that terrible feeling in people's mind that, yeah, okay, here it comes. Here comes the catch. And it's the same thing with churches. Every church has a welcome visitors day, or in most churches you can just walk in anytime and they love you. They have a committee, or they have at least one person dedicated to making your stay in their church for the next hour wonderful. They just slather you with love. They love you. They almost bow down and kiss your feet, all in the hopes of getting you to join their cult. I was almost going to call it a club, but I decided to call it a cult. I mean, they love you. It's called love bombing. It's an actual technique of a cult, love bombing. And really, well, now that I think about it, their God, the Christian God, does the same thing. He love bombs you. He does all this lovely stuff for you. He just lavishes over you, tells you all the great benefits that you're going to have because of him. Then comes the paper. Then he brings out his briefcase, God does. Then he puts the bill on your table, puts the check down there. They do it so gently, the servers. You know, they just kind of set it down and thank you. It's like, oh, what do you mean thank you? You're so nice to me. You want a tip. You're getting paid. You don't want to be here. You're forcing yourself to be nice because it's not out of the good charity of your heart. You want money out of me. So, I mean, that's the way the world works, except with this evangel. Except with this evangel. So, going back to the people at the church, they lavish you. But if they don't see you again, if that's the first and the last time you ever go to their church, I guarantee you that if they see you 3 weeks from then and you haven't shown up again yet, they will snub you. It's like, hey, what happened to the love bomb? I thought she loved me. Oh, you love me, you love me not. You love me, you love me not. And we do not have that kind of evangel. We don't present it that way, because I'm really, after my last video about whether you believe it or not, I thought of how great that is. It's a great psychological tool. Not that it's a tool, I mean, it's the truth, but God's the one who made the human psychology, and he knows that people are absolutely amazed. It's like, if you play hard to get, that's the thing. Let me explain what I mean by hard to get. It's a dating technique where you're not supposed to push yourself on someone. You're supposed to be a little coy, a little shy, a little like, I could live without you, or I'm possibly interested in that person over there. I don't know how to do that. I'm not forward, but you know, I wear everything on my sleeve. Probably not a great technique, but I'm not into techniques. And I'm not telling you that this way of presenting the evangel is a technique. It's true, but the effect it has on the human psychology is interesting. It's like you give it and you walk away. It'd be like the insurance guy. Here's his wonderful insurance, and he says, enjoy the insurance. He doesn't even bring out his briefcase, and he walks away, and you're like, wait a minute. You're following him out the door. It's like, wait a minute, where's the paperwork? Oh, there is no paperwork. Our company, this is the way we operate. We give anybody insurance that they want. I was just presenting it to you to tell you how great it is, and it's now covering you. And he walks out the door. What? Or can you imagine the church people still loving you? There's no way they're going to still love you if you don't join their church. But the agape love of God is that God has done this. He's justified the entire human race. He's at peace with the entire human race. And then he walks away. And they're like, what? Wait a minute. And you're like chasing him. Like, don't you want me to like go to a church or something, God? Don't you want me? Don't I have to repent? Don't I have to be baptized? Don't I have to do works worthy of repentance? And he's like, I really have somewhere to go. Believe me, it's all yours. And you just want to follow that God. Oh, I heard a story of somebody in the Civil War who went around and he bought slaves. And he bought them in order to free them. So they're not used to this. So he buys the slaves and they don't know what to make of it. Because if he buys them, they follow him servilely and submissively to his home, and then he says, well, have a nice day. And they're like, what do you mean, have a nice day? I don't have room for you here. Well, what do you mean you don't have room for me? You just bought me. No, you're free. I bought you to free you. Oh, my God, nobody ever heard that. That's why I told you in the video yesterday, nobody ever heard of an evangel of the grace of God where you give it out. You tell people all the benefits, and then you walk away. You remember Jesus Christ at on the road to Emmaus, and he's walking with the disciples, and he hides himself. They don't know who he is, right? And he gives them a gift. He loads them down with the scripture, telling them how Jesus was the Christ. He's speaking in the third person because he's hiding his identity. And then the actual text says, and Jesus does as though he were going further, does as though. Jesus is literally faking them out. But there were no strings attached. He just told them all these wonderful things from the scripture about the Messiah. And he starts to walk away. Well, have a nice evening. And their hearts burn within them. And they follow him. It's this playing hard to get kind of thing. And people don't know what to do. They're like, what? It's too good to be true. When I speak at home meetings, I will bring my books. I'll have stacks of my books. The host or the hostess will put stacks of my books on the kitchen table. And they'll invite people to the meeting. And I know that many people at the home meetings, I've had home meetings with as many as probably 30 people. I know that a lot of them are coming just because the hostess or the host wanted them to. And they're not really interested. They've maybe heard about me a little bit, or their friends told them about me. This guy's going to talk about the Apostle Paul, or this guy's going to talk about salvation. This guy's going to talk about why the doctrine of eternal torment is not a scriptural doctrine. And they're mildly interested, but you can tell they're a little like, let's see what this guy has to say. I don't put much stock in this guy. Then they walk in and they see my books stacked in the back, and they think to themselves, I look terrible because I just woke up. My hair, yeah. They say to themselves, okay, I see. This guy's a salesman. His books are in the back. Yeah, okay. He's going to tell us about God, and then he's going to make a pitch and try to sell us his books. Well, they're in for a big surprise, because this is what I do. I start the meeting. I start talking about God. Maybe I'll go for a couple minutes. I'll introduce myself, talk about my Catholic background. And then, my friends, I will say, oh, you've probably noticed I'm also an author, and I have several books in the back, and those aren't for sale. Anybody wants a book, you can take it. And I can see it's a visible change. It's the psychology of this is the truth for you, whether you believe it or not. These books are yours, whether you pay me or not. You see, it's the same principle. And people soften. And now they're really in the mood, in the mode to listen to me. That's why I mentioned this before the meat of my message, before the bulk of my talk. I lay this on them because they're absolutely stunned, and then they're really listening to me. It's like, wow, this guy really is about grace. How does he do this? Well, a little secret here. I do it because of you. I do it because you have been so generous with me, and you enable me to print books and give them away. And that's what I do. I give more books away than I sell. I can tell you that. And then I play hard to get. Mm-hmm. Very coy. And I just kind of, after my talk, I talk to everybody. And it's like there's no pitch at the end. That makes them want to follow the message. That makes them want to pursue me and say, how do you do this? Like, where did you get this message? How do you make a living or whatever? They have questions. If I had been there making a hard sell, like a Mary Kay saleswoman, some people think I'm like a Mary Kay saleswoman. I'm not like a Mary Kay saleswoman. I'm nothing like a Mary Kay saleswoman. So they're amazed. And just like Jesus on the road to Emmaus, they follow it. They want to know more. It picks their interest for sure. So anyway, that's it. That is psychologically a mind blower for people. When you tell them what God has done for them. Oh, and I walk out of the house and they go, well, like, do you have like a organization? Yeah, they all want to know if you have an organization. People think that way. Again, they're waiting for the pitch. And with Christianity, it's all about the pitch. They dangle God out in front of you and say, oh, how would you like to have this? Look at all these blessings. Jesus died for your sins. Baloney. God is at peace with you. Baloney. The truth of their messages, if you get underneath the surfaces, God potentially took away your sins. Jesus Christ potentially did that. God can potentially be at peace for you, but then they slip the bill onto your table. Yep, you got to go to church. You have to repent. You have to be baptized. You have to say the sinner's prayer. Oh, God. And the world runs away. They hate that message. They've seen it all before. They've seen it with insurance salesmen. They've seen it with car salesmen. They've seen it with servers at Red Lobster. They've seen it at their old church where they got love bombed. They love you to death until you don't respond to their message. Well, you know what? Our evangel is a gift of God, not only to those we give it to, but to us, because we have the joyous privilege of laying it all on the table, of telling people how God justified them and how he's at peace with them. And then we walk off and they're wondering, what's the catch? And there is no catch.